Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So today we're kind of starting a new series, a little mini series here called Resurrecting. But if you were here for Sunrise, you heard me quote some lyrics from a song from Elevation Worship. But the words go like this. It says, by your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected king is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected king is resurrecting me. So I went to dictionary.com. Y'all know I like the dictionary. And here's what the word resurrected means: to raise from the dead, to bring to life again, to bring back into use or practice. So my question is, are there areas in your life where the resurrected king could do some resurrecting? See, the ing makes it ongoing, right? It's an action. Am I right? You're the teacher here. That if there's areas in our life we want to see come back to life, the only person that can do it is the one who's already been resurrected. And so it's his spirit who continues the ongoing process of resurrecting us. So today we're going to look at a very popular scripture story from the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in Luke chapter 24, verse 13. And I believe in our Black Emmanuel Bibles, that's on page 860. But if you're in your own Bible or in the YouVersion Bible app, it should be there for you. I typically invite you to stand. This is a longer passage, so if you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit today, I think Jesus will give us some grace for that too. But verse 13 is where we will start. And it begins with, now on the same day. So this is still Easter Sunday morning, okay? I just want us to know kind of the context. It says, now on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are you discussing with each other while you walk along the way? They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? And he asked them, what things? And they replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. And moreover, some of the women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself and all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going to go further. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, the Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word for God, the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So here we are. It's still Easter morning. And we've got these two walking to Emmaus. Emmaus is a village that was pretty insignificant. It's so insignificant that in the all the things that they have kept in the Holy Lands, Emmaus no longer exists. You can't find it. They can point you in a general direction, but it no longer exists as a town. But a lot of Bible scholars have often said that Emmaus is the place we go to give up. Emmaus is the place where we throw our hands up and move on. These disciples, Cleopas and his companion were not one of the 12. Most think that they were part of the greater group, the 70 that were there. But they've heard the story, and now they're moving on. They're going back to their home, and they're giving up on who Jesus was supposed to be. They're so down, they're so devastated, they've given up all hope, that when Jesus walks up beside them, they don't even recognize it. Now it says their eyes were kept, and we don't know if it was literally kept or whether just kind of the overall mood of the situation kept them from paying attention to who Jesus was. There's a lot of beautiful things about this passage. A lot of you that are close to me know this is an important passage in my life. But today I want to focus on what happens in the home. So I want you to think, have you ever been sad or dejected in your faith? Have you ever felt like just giving up and going home? Is there a chance that because of your circumstances, you have missed seeing Jesus in your very midst from time to time? And are there areas of your life that you would like the resurrected King to continue resurrecting you? Now, I've got a very simple formula for you on how this is possible. You ready for it? The first thing that must happen if you want resurrecting power in your life is you must invite Jesus in. The scripture says, as they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going further. But then they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now over. And it says, so he went in to stay with them. Now, this isn't like your invitation to accept. I'm not talking yourself. I'm not talking, you know, some made-up sinner's prayer that's not in Scripture anywhere. I'm not talking invite now or you know, it'll be hot in your afterlife. I'm not talking any of that stuff. What I'm talking about is if you want to go deeper in your faith, if you want God to bring things back to life, you have to invite him to do so. It's a continuous invitation. You have to invite him in for your salvation. But church, sometimes we stop right there. But every day when we get up, we have to make a decision whether to invite Jesus into that day, into our life, into that situation. You see, Jesus is already working in their hearts before they get to the home. He's already preaching and teaching them. Methodists, Wesleyans, they call that prevenient grace. That's God just working in our lives, and we have no idea that he's doing it. But he's always doing it. But we must invite him in. The second thing, if you want this to happen in your life, is you have to surrender control. Whose house are they in? Not Jesus. I'll tell you, there's only three characters in the story. The answer is not Jesus. It's the disciples. It's Cleopas' house. If not, he is a robber. And he needs to be charged with breaking and entering because they went into somebody's house. So it has to be his house. And they sit at his table. Who took the bread and broke it? Jesus. Now I want you to think, if that was modern context and Jesus came into to our homes and wanted to have his way, we'd take our bread and go home. But we couldn't, could we, Wanda? Because we already, it is our bread and we are at home. But if you want resurrection to happen in your life, you have to surrender control and just let Jesus reach across the table and break the bread and take over. Sadly, I think I would be in the group where there are times when we know we need Jesus, but when he starts to take control, we push back or we get mad. And we take our bread and we just go on home. Y'all used to say that as a kid. I'm going to just take your ball and go on home. A couple of you did. I see you mouthing it over there. But you see, Jesus is never the guest. He's either the host or he's nothing at all. So you have to invite him in. You have to surrender control. The next thing that you have to do is you have to go back to the map. Now that sounds crazy, doesn't it? But it says this, it says, when their eyes were finally opened, they said, were not our hearts burning within us when he was talking to us on the road while he was opening the scriptures to us? Jesus was already trying to resurrect their hope and their joy and their purpose in life. And he did it simply by pointing them to the scriptures. And I know some of you are thinking, great, this is Andrew's weekly time to tell me how to fit the Bible into my life. Because I'm so busy, I don't have time to read it. They now make ways to listen to it. It's never been easier to read Scripture. There are devotions after Stacy could pull up 50,000 Scripture readings planned out for you day by day in a matter of a minute. She could schedule it to remind her in a text message or an email. Some of you like to do it the old-fashioned way and flip the pages. I thought it was fitting that my cousin, who I love her to death, but we're not very close just because of proximity and our lives have gone different ways. But she posted something on social media last night, and she had my great aunt's Bible that's almost worn out. And she said she read it every day of her life up until really the point she could no longer read shortly before her passing. And every preacher at the funeral shared the same story. And she went back and she was reading some of her favorite verses. And as you looked at that picture, the pages were so brittle. And there's no wonder she had so much peace in her life. Jesus says that, are you slow to think? Did you not realize that the Messiah had to do this? It's right here. And then he says he started with Moses. So he goes all through the law, and then it says he went all through the prophets. And he says all of it is about him. And I know it's hard. But if you want to experience resurrection in your faith, in your life, there is no easier way than going back to the map that God gave us. You see, there's different levels of knowing people. You ever been asked, do you know such and such? And I'll say, that name sounds familiar. I may know of them. I don't know them, but I know of them. Then there are times where somebody will say, well, do you know such and such? And I'll say, ooh, I don't know them, but I know all about them. Y'all don't want to admit that y'all do that too. Because that means you've been listening to gossip. But then sometimes they'll come up and they'll say, well, do you know such and such? Say, oh yeah, I know her. Yeah, I know her. Yeah. We go way back. Then there are people when they ask, you go, oh, I know them. Those are those intimate people in your life. Our relationship with Jesus is the same way. Sometimes we know of him. Sometimes we know about him because we've been to Sunday school and Vacation Bible School. But sometimes we know him. But we need to keep moving to where we know about him, to where every part of our lives are full of Jesus. The final thing, if you want resurrection in your life and in your faith, is you must stop, turn around, and go tell the others. Stop, turn around, and go tell the others. And sometimes it's as simple as this. You need to stop doing what you're doing and turn away from it. Now for these disciples, it's not about that. They just need to stop the direction they're heading in of giving up. And they need to turn back around and go to where the hope was in Jerusalem. And what does it tell us clearly? That in the same hour, do you remember how many miles it was from Jerusalem to Emmaus? It's right after six. Seven. 7 miles. No Uber. No train. No taxi. They walked it. I don't know about you, but it'd take me a long time to walk 7 miles. Long time. To the point where I might end up at the hospital before I completed the 7 miles. But this is so important to them. It says within the hour, they turned around and went back. Now, you may not want to admit it, but I'm probably going to think, well, that was Jesus, but I'll go back in the morning. It's late. That's why they asked Jesus to stay. It's probably dangerous out there. Ooh, could be a little bit chilly out. I think we'll get a good night's rest, get up in the morning, have some breakfast and some coffee. Then we'll go back and tell the others. It was too important. It says, within the same hour, they got up and they went 7 miles back. And it said they told the others that he was indeed alive. Told them what happened on the road. The scriptures. And it said they saw him in the breaking of the bread. And church, sometimes if we want to grow in our faith, the simple answer is we need to get busy and serious about telling others. Because if you're growing in your faith enough to where you'll tell other people, you're probably confident in what you're saying. So you have to invite him in. You have to surrender control. You have to go back to the map. You have to stop and turn around and go back and tell the others. And that's my prayer today, that when we break this bread, that there'll be some type of burning in our hearts. It's not magic. It's the Holy Spirit. But that as we remember that Christ was broken for us, that we'll also become passionate, remembering that he now breaks us apart as the body of Christ and sends us to other people. Today is your opportunity. Nothing magical has to happen, but as you're coming forward, take a moment to invite him in. Invite him into a place that needs resurrecting in your life. Surrender control of it. Let him lead you back to the map. And then when you leave this place, let's go and tell the others. Amen.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.